The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Hi, I'm Peter. Thanks for having me here today. As Jonathan said, I am here representing Home for Good, which is a charity that you may have remembered from Chris speaking last year, is here to encourage people to think about adoption and fostering. Sorry about that. I just want to begin by telling you a story. This is a story of a young baby. This baby was born into difficult circumstances. Initially, its conception had given so much joy, so much happiness. His mother was overjoyed that she was having a baby with the man she was going to spend the rest of her life with. Unfortunately, this joy turned to sorrow as she realized that the baby could not be his. The dates just didn't match up. And she accepted that the baby was the son of someone she barely knew. She spoke to the man she was in love with, the man who would become her husband, but he just could not accept the baby, could not love him as his own. She had to make the choice, lose him or give up the baby. She chose to give up the baby. That baby was me about 28 years ago. I am adopted. I was voluntarily given up by my biological mother and adopted into my family at 2 months old. I am my adoptive parents' son in every way that I feel that matters. I have their surname, they raise me, they are who I turn to when I am in trouble, and they are my parents and I am their son. Sadly, there are children in our area who are not as blessed as I was, as I needed a loving, stable home to call my own. They need the same thing. Children come into care for a whole variety of reasons. Maybe their parents are too unwell to look after them. Maybe they have been neglected. Maybe their parents are suffering from addiction. Maybe they have suffered abuse or were in a home where abuse was present. Sadly, this background can lead to children missing out on being a child. I have seen two responses from children in care. Some do not understand love, while others are desperately seeking parents. I was at the New Wine Christian Conference last summer. At the conference, a foster mum spoke about her experience of reading a story to a young child that was in her care. It was actually a four-year-old little girl. The mum had birth children and had knew that her children had loved the story, Guess How Much I Love You. The story is about two hares showing each other how much they love one another. It encourages the children to come up with larger and larger expressions of measuring how much the hares love for each other. The mum's experience with her own children was that the kids would get increasingly and increasingly excited about saying how much the hares loved one another. She read the story to the little girl in the same way that she had read it to her birth children. The little girl sat in silence. At the end of the book, the foster mum, a little perplexed, asked her what she thought of the story. The little girl responded, "Who is feeding the baby hare? Where is she sleeping? Who is looking after her?" This four-year-old was so focused on surviving, so focused on getting the care she needs, that she completely missed the point of the book. She completely missed the love. This contrasts with the story of a family who adopted a little girl. When you adopt a child, you have a number of visits with the child's foster parents before the child comes to live with you. These normally take place over a period of about 2 weeks. This couple were adopting a little girl who was about 6 years old. They had visited her previously for about an hour and had just arrived for their second visit. When they arrived, the little girl was looking very shy and very sheepish and distracted. These new adoptive parents were worried. Did she not like them? Did she have concerns with them? Was something wrong? With their emotions running away from them, they looked down as the little girl approached them. She looked up and sheepishly said, "Can I call you Mummy and Daddy?" You can imagine the reaction of the two adoptive parents. This little girl was so desperate for parents, so desperate for their love, that she wanted to call them Mummy and Daddy after only one meeting of an hour. All of these stories reflect our broken world, a world where parents can't always provide a safe and secure care for their children, a world where circumstances can mean that parents give up their children to be cared for, a world where children are abused and neglected. At the National Conference of Home for Good, which was a few weeks ago, a mother of nine adopted children, that's right, nine adopted children, warned us about using the word love. She points out, like the little girl in the story, that the experience of children in cares with love, that for some of them, their experience of love and of those who were meant to love them is one of abuse and neglect. Their idea of love was being abused, being ignored, and not being provided for. In our world, love is flipped upside down, and the most vulnerable can be abused and neglected. In these dark places, where is God? It is a question you often hear. When faced with such evil in our world, you can start to question, where is our God? Where is the God of peace and love? It is a question I am sure the Israelites asked themselves many times. Trapped in slavery and abused by their Egyptian masters, they must have despaired, wondering where their God was. At the end of chapter 2 of the verse of Exodus where we've just read, just before it, it says that they groaned in their slavery and cried out. In today's verse, the one we've just heard, we see God's response to that. You can read this verse lightly. It's the story of the burning bush. God sending out Moses. It is the stuff of Sunday school. It's a bona fide Christian classic. Yet look closely at what God says, and we see that as Christians, it gives an answer that, in my view, completely scares and overwhelms me. "And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are pressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt." Where is God then? Where is God for the Israelites? He is here. He hears their cry and shows up. But how does he propose to tackle this evil in the world? He is sending you. He is sending us. We are God's response to the evil of this world. Without us, evil is allowed to flourish. With us, God's kingdom is advanced and lives are changed. So maybe the question is, not where is God? Maybe it should be, where are you? I am sure our immediate response to this is the same as Moses. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? The Message version of the same verse puts it even clearer. But why me? What makes you think that I could ever go to Pharaoh and lead the children out of Egypt? I was at a conference yesterday, and one of the speakers actually referenced this Bible passage. The conference was for a charity called International Justice Mission. They work to free slaves across the world, both slaves in who are trapped in providing, basically sex trafficking, and also ones in bonded labour. They provide advocacy and they do the actual investigations to build evidence to get people out of this. The guy who was speaking was a director of investigations, so he had a CV out of a film. He'd been working for the FBI and working for the police in California, and he was a undercover specialist. That was his job. And his job now, working for this charity, was to go undercover, pretending either to want to buy children to take as sexual slaves or for labour, or he would go out as a businessman looking for to find slaves who were in bonded labour circumstances. And he referred to this verse in telling a story of when he was in Calcutta, and their role was basically to free girls, so often between the ages of 11 and 16, who were forced into prostitution. And he had put together, he'd found out about these six girls who were in a brothel in a remote area of India, and it had taken them 6 months to persuade the police to do something about it, because the area was controlled by this crime boss who they were all very afraid of. And they finally persuaded the Indian police to do something about it. They'd got ready, they'd got all their investigative team, they'd joined up with the police, and they turned up at the police station, the local police station, ready to go. And for some unknown reason, the local commander decided to do an inspection. And so they were all ready to go, their timings, their plans had all been set out, and he was made to wait. He was despairing. He knew that there were six girls who were in this brothel, and he also knew that their presence, because they had their big cars and all their equipment, was attracting a lot of attention. So from his experience, he knew that chances were the word would get back that something is going on, and the crime boss would move the prostitutes, and there would be no hope of rescuing them. He was just completely frustrated. No one was listening to what he was saying, and it was hours and hours and hours. They can often be out for 30 hours on these things, so it was probably, you know, days they were waiting. He was speaking to one of his colleagues, and his colleagues brought him back to this verse. You know, this is, you are here to do it, and you've just got to put your faith in God and pray. So they prayed and prayed and prayed. And after praying in complete despair, the commander eventually came to him and said, right, it's time to go now. I'm ready. We're ready to go. Let's go. They turned up at the brothel, and instead of there being six women who were in slavery, there was 19, because they just happened to arrive at the exact time when all the women from the area were at that brothel. I mean, he was clearly overwhelmed with God's provision in that and God's timing. And basically he saw in practice God's powerful answer to that question, and we heard it from the Horners as well, that who am I to go? And his answer is, I will be with you. Five words that mean when we follow God's call, you have the God of all heaven and earth supporting, guiding, and reassuring us. When God is for us, who can be against us? We are the answer to the suffering and evil of this world. There may be no burning bush, but I believe God is calling us this just the same. So how do we respond? The first response is, as we heard from the Horner's testimony, is prayer. We need to give God the space to call us, for one. And then we need to ask God to break our heart for what breaks his. There's a quote that I have written down. I have to say, I don't know where it's come from, but it's a description of prayer. And it's, praying is letting one's own heart become the place where the tears of God and the tears of God children can merge to become tears of hope. The second thing I'd say is take action. Maybe you say God saying to you, or you hear, feel God saying to you, I've heard the cry of the children in the care system, so now go, I am sending you. Or maybe it is another issue on which you feel stirred. You feel what some might describe as a holy discontent. Whatever it is, maybe it's human trafficking or the refugee crisis or homelessness or people who haven't got enough food. Just pray and take action. When it comes to children, I can tell you about a range of options that you can get involved with. We've heard about adoption. It's not easy. There are fewer kids out there, but there are kids who do still need adoption. These are children probably with greater needs. They might be older. There are sibling groups waiting for adoption, or they might be disabled and need specialist care. But there are children out there who do need adoption. But it's not an easy course, and it is a big course. But maybe you're feeling called, and as we've heard, the first response is pray. And then come and I'll be around at the end, so you can come and talk to me and I can give you more information. The other thing is fostering. Fostering can be a whole range of different things. It can be respite fostering for a few weeks, or you could be an emergency foster carer like Chris's, where you take kids up to immediately from whatever situation they've come in from, and that can be from a few months up to 2 years, or you could be a long-term foster carer where you have a child potentially up to the age of 18. There's lots of options in that, but again, if you feel it, you can pray. And then on a slightly less level, but equally as important, we have something called Family Link, and that's a Southwark thing. They offer, it's basically respite caring for children, for families who have a severely disabled child. And it can be for a night or two nights, or it might not even be a night, it could be a day. And it's just you take that child and give the families a bit of a break. So that's another option. Or another option is something called Night Stop, which is a charity that runs in London. Well, it's a national charity, but it's got a London branch. And you take homeless teenagers. So it's teenagers who've been kicked out of their house for one reason or another at about the age of 16. And you just take them for, it could be for a few nights, it could be for a few weeks, and you just care for them. And with those two, the Family Link and the Night Stop, I mean, the assessment process for adoption and fostering is quite involved, whereas it's a bit less for those two. I think we're going to have a ministry time after the talk, so if you do feel a response, I would encourage you to respond in that ministry time and seek prayer. And if it's another issue, one that's not related to children that you feel stirred on, again, pray and respond in the ministry, and then tell someone who can hold you accountable and commit to pray for that area. Ideally daily, and then take action. Maybe contact a charity who works in that area that you're interested in and that you're passionate about. Finally, I'd just say a final response is for those who are stuck on the question of who am I. Maybe you don't feel worthy, or the problem is too big. Moses was arguably a murderer who was on the run due to fear and shame, yet God used him mightily. God will use us despite our failings, and we can have faith that he is with us, even if it doesn't always feel like it. The problems are big, yet the solutions to all big problems start small. For Jackie Pullinger, for example, solving the big, impossible problem of the Forbidden City in Hong Kong started with her getting on the boat to Hong Kong. For the charity I was with yesterday, changing a system in a country normally starts with one conviction, one person being rescued. As we heard for the Horners, it was having their heart broken by a story of children in care, praying about it, and then making the decision to adopt. We need to have faith that God will use our faithfulness to his call, faith that he is with us. You may not be able to change the world, but you can change the world for one person or one child, and then another child, and then another child, and then another child. Thank you.